We read in the Holy Gospel today, Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tomorrow we have the feast of a very great saint and martyr, Saint Hermenegild. He was a prince, really a king, who was put to death by his own father simply because he would not receive Holy Communion from an Arian bishop. On this feast, the liturgical year says, the martyr knew that the Eucharist is the sacred symbol of Catholic unity, and that we are not allowed to approach the holy table in company with them that are not in the true church. A sacrilegious consecration gives heretics the real possession of the divine mystery if the priestly character be in him who dares to offer sacrifice to the God whom he blasphemes. But the Catholic who knows that he may not so much as pray with heretics, shudders at the sight of the profanation and would rather die than share by his presence in insulting our Redeemer in that very sacrifice and sacrament which were instituted that we might all be made one in God. Pope Saint Gregory the Great, he lived at the same time as Saint Hermenegild, tells the history of his martyrdom. King Hermenegild was a convert from the Arian heresy to the Catholic faith. And his father did all that he possibly could to cause him to give up Catholicism and return to the Arian heresy. But Hermenegild, by the grace of God, remained fortes in fide, firm in the faith, so that his father eventually became so angry at this that he deprived him of his right to the kingly throne. He took away all of his earthly possessions and then finally had him chained up in jail. The feast of Easter came around, and Hermenegild's father sent to him an Arian bishop with the message that if only he would receive communion from this Arian bishop's hands, then he could have back everything that he had lost, that was taken away. But Hermenegild, rather than caving, he rebuked the heretic bishop first, and then he refused to receive our Lord because of that sacrilegious consecration, and because to receive it would put him in union with heretics. Well, that bishop returned to Hermenegild's father and told him about the refusal, and he then sent, the father did, he sent men to the prison to kill his own son. Imagine, he was a martyr for refusing to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. It sounds a little odd, doesn't it? Well, the Blessed Sacrament that he was offered was truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. But it was consecrated by a valid priest, yes, but one who was part of a heretical sect. And so, for that reason, Hermenegild could not receive it, even at the cost of his life. He knew, going into it, that by refusing to receive our Lord in this case and under these circumstances, he would at very least lose his right to a temporal throne and all of his possessions, and in worst case, lose his very life. But he knew that it would be a far greater evil, even a mortal sin, to receive the valid Eucharist from a valid priest who was in union with the heretical sect. Sound familiar? It should, because it is. It is quite sad to see that so many are tempted in the very same way today, during the present crisis in the church, when there are myriads of validly ordained priests offering true and valid masses and sacraments, but who are doing so in union with a false pope, in union with a heretic. Now, in those cases, there may be a valid priest and a valid mass and even a valid Holy Eucharist, but the validity of the mass and the Eucharist matters not if it is offered in union with the heretic, in this case, the false popes of Vatican II. In these cases, our Lord may be truly present, but he is held prisoner in their tabernacles, and their sacrifice, in which our Lord is offered, is displeasing to Almighty God. And so to actively participate in such a mass for any reason would by its very nature be a profession of union with a heretical sect, namely the modernists of Vatican II, because the Holy Eucharist is a sacred symbol of unity. And St. Jerome, who never beat around the bush, he once said, "God hates the sacrifices of heretics and pushes them away from himself, and whenever they come together in the name of the Lord, he abhors their stench and holds his nose." Quite a different picture from today's gospel, when our Lord enters in with his apostles who are gathered together and he wishes them peace. Well, all of this applies to any valid mass offered in union with Leo XIV. The mass is displeasing to God because it is offered outside the unity of the Catholic Church and is therefore a mortal sin to attend. And this is not merely a matter of opinion, but of Catholic principle. You know, I was thinking, the Una Cum question never really was a matter of opinion at any other point in the history of the Catholic Church, nor is it today. So, when there was a valid pontiff on the throne of Peter, there was no choice, no other option for the Catholic but to attend a mass which was offered in union with that pope. To do otherwise would have been an act of schism. In fact, Pope Pelagius I said to a group of schismatics, "How can you believe that you are not separated from communion with the Church if you do not mention my name within the sacred mysteries?" Well, applying all of the same logic to today's situation, when there is a false pontiff on the throne of St. Peter, then there is no other option for a Catholic than to avoid masses which are offered in union with him. If not, look at it this way, if not being in communion with the true pope separates you from the true church, then being in communion with a false pope equally separates us from communion with the true church. It really is that simple. Well, sometimes a person is tempted to say that, well, if the priest offers the Mass Una Cum and mentions Leo XIV in the canon of the Mass, well, that's his problem, his sin, not mine. Well, actually, in reality, there is no escaping the fact that whatever the priest says at the altar, you are participating in. actively. You are offering your Mass in union with the priest at the altar, just as you are doing with me today. The priest stands at the altar as the mediator between you and God and offers sacrifice in your name. This is all made clear in the encyclical Mediator Dei by the last true pope, Pope Pius XII. He says this: the rites and prayers of the Eucharistic sacrifice signify and show no less clearly that the oblation of the victim is made by the priests in company with the people. For not only does the sacred minister, after the offering of the bread and wine, when he turns to the people, say the prayer, "Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty," but also, he continues, the prayers by which the divine victim is offered to God are generally expressed in the plural number, and in these it is indicated more than once that the people also participate in this august sacrifice inasmuch as they offer the same. So, when the priest in an Una Cum Mass says at the very beginning of the canon, "We humbly pray and beseech thee, most merciful Father, that thou wouldst bless and accept these gifts, these presents, these holy unspotted sacrifices, which we offer thee for thy holy Catholic Church, together with thy servant Leo, our Pope," then those people in attendance are offering that same prayer to God. "We humbly pray." And thus they profess their union with a false pope, a heretic. From this, there is no escape. Well, some will say, "But Bishop, no, I'm just praying for him." Well, if that's true, first off, if you're praying for him as if he were pope, that's already wrong. You're still claiming him to be pope when he's not. And secondly, you don't pray for people in the first prayer of the canon. You pray for them in the second prayer of the canon, which is called the memento. When you name your loved ones, your family, and your friends, you pray for people there. In the first one, you are praying in union with people. Well, in worst case, attendance at an Una Cum Mass today would put you in union with heretics and a false church. At best, attendance at an Una Cum Mass today would be a lie in a serious matter for the Sede Vacantist. Either way, it is objectively a mortal sin. Well, Bishop, is it really a lie? Well, yes, because the virtue of truthfulness, or it's called veracity, is practiced when we show by outward signs, that is by our words or by our deeds, what we are thinking in our mind. Those things must conform. Our outward actions must conform to our inward beliefs, or else we lie. To believe that Leo is not a true pope, but then to actively participate in a Mass in which he is named as Pope, is therefore a lie, because our outward actions do not conform to our inward belief. And a lie in such a case as that is always a mortal sin, because it harms God in a matter concerning religion. Well, that's pretty much the basics of the arguments against the Una Cum Mass today. You can do some more research, but I leave you with this. We all of us clergy and laity alike, we just want to be Catholic today. We wish that things would go back to normal as they were in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and that we could just go to the church right down the road from us. But this isn't the case. It is not God's will for today. To be Catholic today means so much more, so many more trials and so much more inconvenience than in the past. Catholics have fought hard to preserve the true Mass and the true faith ever since the changes began in the 1960s. And the Una Cum Mass today destroys all of that work. Those who have fought so hard against modernism and rejected all the changes in doctrine and worship, and yet attend an Una Cum Mass, find themselves once again in union with the very institution and religion that they have been fighting against since the 1960s. It is a subtle but dangerous trap left by Satan. And this is why the Una Cum Mass today is dangerous and why it must be, under pain of mortal sin, avoided. May Saint Hermenegild point out the way for us and for Catholics of our day, and may he give us all the courage to remain fortes in fide, strong in our faith. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.